Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, April 3rd, 2020, coming up this hour.
U.S. futures fall as the coronavirus outbreak spreads from coast to coast.
Global infections pass 1 million, while U.S. cases approach 250,000.
The small business rescue gets underway as unemployment claims hit another record.
Mayor de Blasio is calling for New Yorkers to wear face coverings while outside. Plus, Dr. Anthony Fauci says all states should be on lockdown. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. We'll tell you how the Patriots helped coronavirus relief in New York and the agreement struck between Derek Jeter and Tom Brady.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are falling as investors take risk off the table heading into the weekend. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 27 points. Dow futures down 233. NASDAQ futures a loss of 83 points. DAX in Germany down 0.25%. The CAC in Paris down 0.9%. Nikkei in Japan, little changed on the session. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed down 0.2%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.9% or 48 cents to $25.79 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $10 at $16.27.70 an ounce. 10-year treasury down 0.2, the yield 0.60%, 2-year yield 0.22%. The euro is at 1.0798 against the dollar and the yen at 108.31. John?
And Nathan, U.S. futures falling as the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread. The ability to test for COVID-19 ramping up, and that has infections in the U.S. now over 245,000. We spoke with Vice President Mike Pence about the effort.
We're now testing over 100,000 Americans a day. We literally are tracking every single day the number of cases that are coming out, where they're coming out, and that's informing our coordination.
Still, medical professionals say they aren't able to test all patients who may have COVID-19. That's hampering efforts to prevent the spread. U.S. deaths from the disease now number more than 6,000.
And the economic fallout from the pandemic continues to deepen. Yesterday's record unemployment numbers show 10 million Americans lost work in the last 2 weeks of March. It is alarming, but Vice President Mike Pence is expecting a strong rebound.
We'll get through this. We've supported unemployment insurance benefits for the states. We're working closely with governors to make sure that those that are impacted have the support to see their family, to see their businesses, and to see their communities through the course of the coronavirus.
After three stimulus packages from the White House and Congress, a fourth measure is in the works. President Trump wants a $2 trillion infrastructure bill, a plan that is also favored by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
And help from the most recent rescue package could arrive in as soon as 2 weeks. That's according to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
The economic impact payments. I had previously said this would take us 3 weeks. I'm pleased to report that within 2 weeks, the first payments will be direct deposit into taxpayers' account.
The IRS will make about 60 million payments this month to people with bank account information on file with the agency. Paper checks will start going out in May, but according to the House Ways and Means Committee, some people may wait until September before receiving payments.
Well, there are also concerns about unemployment insurance payments getting out on time. Ken Smetters is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School.
The problem is unemployment insurance is really levied at the state level. It's a coordination between federal and states, and a lot of states just aren't set up to distribute the checks. They have very legacy old systems. They can't handle the increase in even online applications, but it's really the back-end processing. These systems are often mainframes running code, and it's not like state workers can dial in from home and do a lot of code changes. So you're going to see a lot of delays in state distribution of unemployment insurance. That part's not going to work as intended.
Kent Smetters is director of Wharton's Economic Modeling Group. He says states like New York are already scrambling to get unemployment benefits to the large number of residents filing claims.
And after 2 weeks of record-high jobless claims, we could be in for another big uptick. Betsy Stevenson is an economics professor at the University of Michigan and former chief economist for the Labor Department.
I expect we're going to see another 3 to 7 million people in next Thursday's number, because we're hearing lots of stories of furloughs and people being pushed into the unemployment insurance system. So this historic rise isn't going to end anytime soon.
Meantime, the $350 billion rescue package for small business gets underway today. The funds are much needed, but there's concern ahead for processing a flood of applications and delivering enough aid to firms hit hardest by the pandemic.
It's also quite likely that the amount of money they've made available in those guaranteed loans for small businesses will hit its cap, then they'll need to increase the amount of money that's made available to small businesses in those guaranteed loans, forgivable loans for people who keep people on payroll.
Just yesterday, lenders complained they lack guidance from the Small Business Administration on how to process loans. There's also concern some won't participate because of what's seen as unfavorable terms for lenders.
All right, turning to energy now. Oil is gaining for a third day as President Trump pushes to cut global output by at least 10 million barrels a day. After a phone call with the Saudi crown prince, sources tell us the president wants to get both Saudi Arabia and Russia to cut about 10% of global production.
It may be 10, and it may be more than that. I was actually told it may be 10, and it may be more than that. Maybe it's 15. Maybe it goes up to 15.
And sources close to the administration tell us President Trump's goal is purely aspirational and will hinge on whether Saudi Arabia and Russia can cut a deal. Just hours after the president's comments, though, we got word that OPEC and its allies, a group that includes both countries, is making preparations for a meeting as early as next week. Checking oil prices right now, they are higher, with West Texas Intermediate up 2% or 51 cents at $25.82 a barrel. Brent is higher by 5.5% at $31.64.
And in Europe, we're seeing more grim economic data. A measure of services and manufacturing points to an annualized economic contraction of about 10% for the euro area. Markets composite PMI fell to 29.7 in March, much lower than already gloomy estimates. Almost every country in the survey posted a record low reading. S&P futures right now are down 30 points, down 1.2%. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at news from around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, John. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is warning that the state supply of ventilators could be exhausted in 6 days if the number of people becoming critically ill with the coronavirus maintains its rate.
These ventilators are very simple. A person comes into the ICU unit, they need the ventilator or they die. It's that basic a proposition. We have about 6 days at the current burn rate of ventilators.
Cuomo says the number of COVID-19 cases in the state is now around 92,000. Coronavirus deaths are mounting with alarming speed in New York, Spain, and Italy. Worldwide, the number of reported infections hit another gloomy milestone, 1 million, with more than 53,000 deaths. Mayor Bill de Blasio is advising all New Yorkers to wear face coverings outdoors like a scarf or bandana. The mayor says you can create your own.
You can be creative and put whatever decoration you want on it. It can be as homemade as you want. But that's what we want you to do, something homemade, not something professional, not something from the supplies we need for our heroes. And that's going to help protect everyone.
And there's talk the White House is likely to recommend that people living in areas hardest hit by the coronavirus cover their faces in public. New research shows that the pathogen may hang in the air after people sneeze, cough, or even talk. President Trump.
If people wanted to wear them, they can. If people wanted to use scarves, which they have, many people have them, they can. In many cases, the scarf is better. It's thicker.
The director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says he believes that there should be a federally mandated stay-at-home order, something President Trump says he won't do. There have been questions if warm weather will help slow or stop the spread of COVID-19. During the CNN town hall, Dr. Anthony Fauci also said, while that may be true in general, warmer parts of the U.S. like Florida are still in crisis mode.
I think there will be some effect. I think when the country as a country gets into summer, that we're going to get some positive effect. But we really can't rely on that being the mechanism where we're going to get out of that. We just got to assume it's not going to help.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 of Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. Patriots owner Robert Kraft says he loves New York. Went to business school at Columbia, has seen the city become the epicenter of the pandemic, and he wanted to help. Spoke with the governors of New York and Massachusetts. A deal was struck with China where the Patriots team plane went there, brought home 1.2 million masks. Wall Street Journal reports Kraft paid $2 million of his own money. Yankees doing their part, announced a $1.4 million distress fund for stadium employees who are currently using paychecks. The Giants introduced their new quarterback. Colt McCoy will back up Daniel Jones.
I've been a backup and I've been a starter. I think that the way that I approach it is, number one, is making sure each week that Daniel feels as comfortable as he can going into these games and understanding and feeling good about the game plan and our preparation all week long so he can go out and play as best he can. And you know, I take pride in helping him feel that way.
McCoy spent the last 4 years in Washington. So Derek Jeter is the landlord and Tom Brady's the tenant, and the rent will presumably be due first of the month. The marriage makes some sense. Jeter now lives in Miami running the Marlins, and Brady, perhaps you've heard, is starting a new job in Tampa. So he's renting Jeter's waterfront mansion on Davis Islands just outside downtown Tampa. 30,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms. An elevator, and a boat dock. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now indicate a lower open. We have Dow futures right now, 271 points lower. That is down 1.3%. S&P futures are 30 points lower. That's down 1.2%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, 93 points lower. That also down 1.2%. We're seeing a dollar DXY this morning. That is up about 0.5%. And volatility is up 1.6%. This is Bloomberg. And we're being brought to you by New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are falling along with U.S. equity futures as investors weigh the latest corporate and economic turmoil caused by a pandemic that has now infected more than 1 million people worldwide. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower now by 34 points. Dow futures down 300. NASDAQ futures a loss of 103 points. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The CAC in Paris down 1.2%. The Nikkei in Japan closed little change. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.2%. 10 years down 3/32, yield 0.60%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% or 52 cents at $25.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $10.10 at $16.27.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.0802 against the dollar, the yen at 108.41. At 8:30 Wall Street time, we get the March employment report. It is expected to show the first decline in payrolls in nearly a decade. And Constellation Brands is scheduled to report earnings this morning. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Coronavirus deaths are mounting with alarming speed in Spain, Italy, and New York, the most lethal hotspot in the U.S. Worldwide, the number of reported infections reached another grim milestone, 1 million, with more than 53,000 deaths. China will honor those who have died in the fight against coronavirus and all victims of the outbreak with 3 minutes of silence on Saturday. The captain of a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier facing a growing outbreak of the coronavirus has been fired by Navy leaders who said he created a panic by sending his memo pleading for help to too many people. Navy Secretary Thomas Modley said the ship's commander, Captain Brett Crozier, demonstrated extremely poor judgment in the middle of a crisis. Modley says Crozier should have gone directly to his immediate commanders, who were already moving to help the ship. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up at 5:20 on Wall Street, we are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, after those devastating jobless claims, we get non-farm payrolls today. What value can we extract from it? Let's put that question this morning to Mark Vittner. He's a managing director, senior economist at Wells Fargo Securities. What are you going to be looking for, and is there much value to it at all?
Well, the second question is probably the more accurate one. I mean, we're going to be looking at everything in the data, but I'm not quite sure how important it's going to be, because this employment report looks at the economy before we saw that pickup in layoffs. We've had 10 million jobless claims reported since the period that this employment report is going to be reporting on. So we have a small increase in our forecast for the March data. We're looking for an increase of 50,000 jobs. The Census Bureau hired about 40,000 people that month to be working on the census, and with the seasonal adjustment, we're probably going to see a small increase or some number that's close to zero, but still in positive territory. It'll be the last one that we think we're going to see, because we're going to see some sort of horrendously sharp decline when we get the April data.
And you, of course, I would imagine, are focused more on the high-frequency data at this point.
Yes, we've been searching for whatever we can get. The jobless claims are actually the best high frequency data point that we have. Most of the other stuff that we look at, you know, that we found, if you look at the number of people that are sitting down for dinner, or the number of people that are going through the TSA, they've dropped, you know, 80% or more, and in some cases all the way they've dropped 100%. And I just, you know, we're going to see just some incredibly harsh numbers in the month of April, but it really seems that most of the decline in economic activity is going to be contained to the second quarter, and quite a bit of it is going to show up in the month of April.
How do you gauge whether or not businesses are going to be intact on the other side of this?
Well, that's a real hard question to answer, because we don't really have any economic tools to measure that. That's a big part of what the stimulus programs, the small business and Main Street lending facilities, are going to try to accomplish. They're going to try to get businesses positioned not only to be healthy enough to reopen, but be positioned to reopen. And I think the way that we look at that is that we're going to be better with these programs in place than we would have been without them. And so I have little doubt that we're going to move past this in some way this summer. It doesn't mean that the virus is going to be behind us, but it does mean that activity is going to begin to start moving in the direction of returning to whatever the new normal is going to be. When you lose everything, you've lost everything. You know, I can't remember the old Bob Dylan song, but when you're down 100%, you can't fall anymore. So the only direction is up. So I think we're going to have a very sharp decline in GDP in the second quarter, and then we're going to see an increase in the third quarter just because of the law of numbers. But we've got a long way to go to recover everything that we've lost.
Just from the transmission mechanism and viewing this through the lens of the last major disaster in this area, at least anyway, was the Hurricane Sandy. And speaking yesterday to the former commissioner of small business in New York City, he was not optimistic about the capability of the SBA to handle all these claims based on his experience going back then. Time, I would imagine, is of the essence in terms of getting the aid out there, is it not?
It is, and it's a massive undertaking, and it is to expect absolute precision is just way too much to expect. I think that there'll be some successes and there'll be some failures, but I do think that the programs that are in place are going to put us in a better place than we would be without them. So it's a massive undertaking. I don't know that all of the country will turn at the same time, but it's going to be a slow crawl back. I know a lot of people are thinking that we're going to have a V-shaped recovery, and I warn people that that is only in the sense of some of the economic data, some of the percentage gains, because we're going to have such a sharp fall that numerically, the percentage gains may be fairly large, but it really understates the extent of the climb that we have to make over the next year or so.
Mark, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Mark Vintner, Managing Director, Senior Economist at Wells Fargo Securities, joining us this morning. And this is on a morning when the futures ahead of the cash open on Wall Street point to a lower open right now. The Dow futures down 331 points. S&P futures are down 38, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures 110 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. We're brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology. Attend their virtual graduate open house on Saturday, April 4th, to learn more about their top-ranked business programs available online. Visit stevens.edu/openhouse.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning. It's 5:30 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling as the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread. Testing for COVID-19 is ramping up, and that has infections in the U.S. approaching 250,000. We spoke with Vice President Mike Pence about the effort.
We're now testing over 100,000 Americans a day. We literally are tracking every single day the number of cases that are coming out, where they're coming out, and that's informing our coordination.
Still, medical professionals say they aren't able to test all patients who may have COVID-19, and that is hampering efforts to prevent the spread. U.S. deaths from the disease now number more than 6,000.
The economic fallout from the pandemic continues to deepen, but support is on the way. That's according to the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin.
The economic impact payments. I had previously said this would take us 3 weeks. I'm pleased to report that within 2 weeks, the first payments will be direct deposit into taxpayers' account.
The IRS will make about $60 million payments this month to people with bank account information on file with the agency. But according to the House Ways and Means Committee, people receiving checks in the mail may have to wait as long as 5 months.
In the meantime, the $350 billion rescue for small business gets underway today. The funds are sorely needed, but there is concern about processing a flood of applications. Betsy Stevenson is an economics professor at the University of Michigan and a former chief economist for the Labor Department.
It's also quite likely that the amount of money they've made available in those guaranteed loans for small businesses will hit its cap. Then they'll need to increase the amount of money that's made available to small businesses in those guaranteed loans, forgivable loans for people who keep people on payroll.
Just yesterday, lenders complained they lack guidance from the Small Business Administration on how to process loans. There's also concern some won't participate because of what is seen as unfavorable terms for lenders.
And finally, in Europe, we're seeing more grim economic data. A measure of services and manufacturing points to an annualized economic contraction of about 10% for the euro area. Markets composite PMI fell to 29.7 in March, with almost every country in the survey posting a record low reading.
And it is risk off this morning, with S&P futures lower by 34 points, Dow futures down 296, NASDAQ futures lower by 103 points. The 10-year is down 3/32, yield 0.60%, 2-year Treasury yield 0.22%. The euro is at 1.0801 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we bring you the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
It is now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Mayor Bill de Blasio is encouraging New Yorkers to cover their faces whenever they venture out from their homes. A possible preview of a nationwide advisory to come from the White House. De Blasio, in his daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak, urged New Yorkers in the nation's virus epicenter to make their own face covers using items of clothing.
A lot of people are out there right this minute, don't even know they have it. We want to make sure that anyone that doesn't have to get it doesn't get it. So face covering is just a simple way to protect other people and to reduce the speed of that community spread and hopefully keep a number of people from being affected who don't have to be affected.
New York City is reporting nearly 50,000 cases of COVID-19. Global coronavirus infections surpassed 1 million, a milestone reached just 4 months after the first cases surfaced in China. More than 53,000 people have died around the world. President Trump attacked 3M over unspecified problems with his production of protective masks on the same day that his administration issued an order under the Defense Production Act to speed production of ventilators and masks for coronavirus patients.
That I've just signed against 3M for face masks. We just signed a element of the act against 3M. And hopefully they'll be able to do what they are supposed to do.
The act allows FEMA to obtain as many as N95 respirators that's needed from the company. 3M said it will boost U.S. production to 50 million per month by June. The director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says he believes that there should be a federally mandated stay-at-home order, something President Trump says he won't do. Dr. Anthony Fauci spoke during a CNN town hall on the coronavirus.
I don't understand why that's not happening. As you said, you know, the tension between federally mandated versus states' rights to do what they want is something I don't want to get into. But if you look at what's going on in this country, I just don't understand why we're not doing that. We really should be.
Millions of Chinese workers are streaming back to factories, shops, and offices, but many still face anti-coronavirus controls. In Wuhan, the city where the pandemic started in December, police require a health check and documents from employers for returning workers. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Marr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And Michael, thank you very much. It's coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good Friday morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. The Patriots may have lost two Super Bowls to the Giants, but their owner, Robert Kraft, says he loves New York, wanted to help in this time of need. Kraft helped broker a deal to bring much-needed over a million N95 masks from China. They arrived on the Patriots team plane. A rental agreement between Tom Brady and Derek Jeter. Collectively, they won 11 championships, but Jeter spends his time now in Miami running the Marlins, so he's renting out his 30,000-square-foot mansion on Davis Islands to Brady. He's about to start a new job in Tampa. The NFL draft later this month. The league says it'll be done virtually. Team reps in their own cities. Drafted players will stay home. It'll be interesting to see where the Alabama quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, goes. He's coming off a serious hip injury. Now says he's completely recovered. Many see him going to Miami. Dolphins need a quarterback. They have the sixth pick. Former Giants cornerback Eli Apple's deal with the Las Vegas Raiders has fallen through. He's once again a free agent. Giants drafted Apple 10th overall in 2016, later played in New Orleans. Tony Boselli says he feared for his life. Star tackle in Jacksonville, a four-time Hall of Fame finalist, tested positive for COVID-19. Ended up in intensive care at the Mayo Clinic for 5 days. Now feeling much better. So April 3rd, this day in New York hockey history, 1978, Hall of Famer Mike Bossy scored his 50th goal, became the first rookie to ever score 50 in a season. 2 years later, Bossy helped the Islanders win the first of four straight Stanley Cups. And in 1988, the Devils clinched their first ever playoff berth. They'd go on to win three cups. John Stanchel, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with a cover on 3M's plans to make a billion face masks by year's end. We spoke with 3M CEO Mike Roman about the effort.
We've been working very closely with the government. We've been working with Vice President Pence, looking at how to make sure that we can shift what have been the industrial N95 respirators into healthcare.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week, on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio and on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report, and we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Curry.
A measure of business activity in the New York City area sank to the lowest level on record in March as the coronavirus ground the economy to a near halt. The Institute for Supply Management New York's current business conditions index fell 39 points last month to 12.9, the lowest since 1993. Well, New York State's transit systems will receive as much as $3.8 billion from the federal government to pay for coronavirus-related expenses. It's the biggest grant offered from the Federal Transit Administration. New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority may get the authority to borrow for operating expenses, according to a proposal from state lawmakers. Rich universities are investing to save the heart of their college towns, the small businesses near campus. For example, Yale in New Haven is among schools that own commercial spaces and have waived rent since sending students home during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Ed, thanks. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting a crew member aboard a Royal Caribbean ship has died. The cause is still unknown.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. JCPenney said it paid its rent for April while other retailers are holding back.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing expects several thousand workers to retire or accept its buyout offer that it's extended to all of its employees.
I'm Steve Potaskan on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about Disney furloughing non-union workers at its theme parks.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the hottest new cars of 2020 face cold demand because of the coronavirus.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Breaking news crossing the Bloomberg right now. An OPEC Plus delegate says global output of 10 million barrels a day is a realistic goal. This is Bloomberg. And just ahead, members of OPEC Plus set to hold a virtual meeting, but who's on the invitation list? We're going to debrief Bloomberg oil reporter Anne-Marie Hordern. That is just ahead, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are falling on this Friday, along with U.S. equity futures, as investors weigh the latest corporate and economic turmoil from a coronavirus pandemic that has now infected more than a million people worldwide. The dollar is strengthening, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 36 points, Dow futures down 316, NASDAQ futures lower by 107 points. DAX in Germany down 0.7%, the CAC in Paris down 1.3%. 10-year down 2/32nds, yield 0.60%, 2-year treasury yield 0.22%. Oil is gaining. West Texas Intermediate higher by 4.4% or $1.11 at $26.41 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8.40 at $16.29.30 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0804 against the dollar. The yen at 108.45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City is now facing Los Angeles and urging people to wear non-medical masks or face coverings in public because of COVID-19. Soon, the White House is expected to issue similar guidance for more Americans. Singapore announced stricter measures to contain the outbreak, including closing most workplaces. Meanwhile, Spain's virus death rate declined for the first time in 4 days. The Navy captain, who made an urgent plea in a leaked letter to get his sailors off an aircraft carrier because of COVID-19 cases, is now being relieved of duty. The Secretary of the Navy says that Captain Brett Crozier's letter asking for his sailors to be allowed off the USS Theodore Roosevelt was emailed to 20 to 30 recipients and wound up being leaked to the San Francisco Chronicle. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. This morning, we're joined by Anne-Marie Hordern, covering all things oil for Bloomberg. Your timing's excellent. Crude gaining for a third day. President Trump pushing to cut global output by at least 10 million barrels a day. Let's start with a tweet from the president. Just spoke to my friend, Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who spoke with President Putin of Russia. I expect and hope they will be cutting back approximately 10 million barrels. and maybe more substantially. We got that red sticky headline just crossing the Bloomberg from an OPEC Plus delegate who says 10 million cut is kind of realistic. Where do we go from here?
Right. And the most important part of that headline is its global output cut. So that that basically signals that this is OPEC plus others. And I think...
Who are the others?
Well, that's a good question. President Trump had said this yesterday in this tweet, Russia and Saudi. But if you look at Russia and Saudi cutting 10 million barrels a day, it's very unlikely. That's more than 40% of their own production. The Saudis came out with a statement that was a bit more measured and said, we'll call for an urgent meeting for OPEC plus and other countries, U.S., Norway, Brazil, Mexico. Are they on board to cut more production? And I only think we will get this deal if others join, and most notably the United States.
Well, the United States. Now, remember, everybody, OPEC is a cartel to get the United States, the Texas oil producers involved. They'd have to join a cartel. Do I have this right?
Well, basically, we have antitrust laws in the United States, and there are...
It's not legal.
There are thousands of oil companies, even just logistically. Like, take Saudi Arabia. The kingdom and Aramco are one and the same, right? It's easy to dictate policy. How do you do that with thousands of producers? And we already see a divisive oil industry saying, you know, this should be the way forward or that should be the way forward. I spoke to Ryan Sinton yesterday, one of the commissioners. He spoke to Alexander Novak of Russia. He's pushing for this deal. But there are others who say, absolutely not. We are a free market and we should not be putting production quotas on.
So in terms of the cut, if it were 10 million barrels per day, what is that going to do? Just driving in this morning, there was nobody on the road. That looks at one demand.
So you're hitting probably the most important question right now. Analysts from Citi and Goldman say that it's too little too late. And Trafigura was one of the most, the biggest coming out yesterday. I was hearing from everyone, 20 million barrels a day. They're saying we're losing 35 million barrels a day on demand side. That is huge. That's more than shutting off China twice in a day. Like, that's a lot of oil. And right now, what traders are doing, really, is just they're managing all the storage they built up.
As far as the price action, this morning, as Nathan mentioned, at the data check, Brent, the international benchmark, it's right now at 33, NYMEX, West Texas, 26.62. What's the price dynamic from here?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, given the fact that the other day we were just at hitting 19 in WTI. This will certainly be helpful to all the OPEC nations that are countries and they rely on this, but the demand is so bad, everyone says the prices are going to go lower. The thing to watch, I would say, is this weekend we have the official pricing from Aramco for their May prices. If those, depending how those prices are, I think they'll be a good of indication of how serious the Saudis are and whether or not we're going to get a cut.
What are we producing right now, and what are we doing with it if the demand isn't there?
So this is one of the biggest topics right now in the oil industry, and it's the storage, because there's pretty much we're near storage capacity on land. So you have all these companies and countries buying up oil tankers. Saudi have about 15 right now that they've been buying up. You could see them and track them on the terminal. It's pretty incredible. And then yesterday we learned that one of the biggest storage facilities in Africa, full capacity.
Anne-Marie Herdern, thanks a lot. Check on oil. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The White House is considering whether to put FEMA in charge of obtaining protective medical supplies such as masks and gloves for the Strategic National Stockpile. The agency would also decide which suppliers get federal contracts. Small businesses in California can take up to a year to remit up to $50,000 in sales taxes collected from customers. Bed Bath & Beyond says 1-800-Flowers should not be allowed to back out of its planned acquisition of a Keepsakes website because of the coronavirus. The retailer took its case to a court in Delaware.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching involves California and Texas planning cuts to their jail populations. The states are using early releases to limit the spread of the coronavirus in overcrowded prisons. For more on the situation, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Laurel Calkins.
So now, Texas is also going to do some early releases, but as I understand, this came by a judge's order and has been opposed in part by the state?
It's actually a very fluid situation. The focus of it right now is Harris County, which is the primary county at the center of Houston. It's got the fourth largest jail population in the country, about 8,000 prisoners. And a group of prisoners' advocates have been suing for the last 4 years to try to reform the cash bail system so that poor people aren't kept in jail just because they're poor and can't afford to bond out. But the advocates were asking for a blanket release of up to 4,000 prisoners, which is half of the population of the jails. And the Texas Attorney General and the Texas Governor, who are both Republicans, jumped in and started warning that no mass get-out-of-jail-free cards needed to be handed out because of public safety concerns. So this whole thing has just become a giant cluster in front of a federal judge and involves a county official who oversees the jails and the local county official, which is confusingly called a county judge, even though it's an elected official, signed an order that said, we're going to let as many as 1,000 of these prisoners out, but we're limiting it to nonviolent offenders, people that have no prior violent convictions and are not currently arrested for violent offenses, no one subject to a domestic violent protective order, or no one with a felony multiple DWI conviction or suspected of burglary. All those people are going to be retained, but pursuant to the orders now, up to 250 a day now can be released as quickly as they can start of these nonviolent pretrial detainees.
So let me get one thing straight. If the judge orders something, don't they have to do it? Are they quibbling with the judge's order, or is this the judge taking all this in?
There's two different types of judges. In Texas, the highest elected county official is called a county judge, even though they're not a judge. Then there's also a federal judge who's a real judge who is overseeing this lawsuit. And so the federal judge is being asked to jump in and be the 900-pound gorilla and order everything. Well, the Texas Attorney General and the governor have said, let the politicians work this out. Let us come up with a plan that we like so that you don't step on state sovereignty. It's a big issue about constitutional rights, whether people should be held in jail simply because they're too poor to be let out. But the politicians say, we can't rush to this. We can't do a blanket release because there are legitimate concerns about safety of the community, and we can't just willy-nilly let these people out. So the judge is being asked to jump in, the real judge, the federal judge. But the county judge, who's a politician, issued an order that said 1,000 of these people are getting out under very carefully individualized vetting. So it's complex.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Laurel Calkin speaking with June Grasso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. We are watching oil extend gains this morning after an OPEC Plus delegate told Bloomberg News a global output cut of 10 million barrels a day is a realistic goal. Brent is higher by 10% right now, up $2.98, $32.95 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is higher by 4.8% or $1.22 at $26.54. Futures pointing to a lower open on this Friday morning. S&P futures down 29 points. Dow futures down 265. NASDAQ futures lower by 89 points. This is Bloomberg.